Decron Hayes, Season 2, Episode 2, Shadows of Gotham City, by Jordan D. White. Babylon. Scrape the bottom of the Parlor Town bucket, and Babylon is what you'll find underneath. Scrub hard enough, and you might just notice that stuck in with all the grime and scum of the city is one of its shining jewels. Macy Hayes of the Decron Hayes Detective Agency. Likely she'd be smiling up from amid the muck, gladly knitting a toaster cover. That's what she'd done for the past year and a half, and likely it's what she'd still be doing if she hadn't gotten an unusually hopeful offer. A CIA official, Matthew Landsberg, had shown up the day before with Lexi Grayson, Macy's old partner back in Russia with the company. A job they'd done back in the mother country hadn't gone exactly by the book, and now the big boys were chomping at the bit to find out what really happened. So much so, that they'd offered to get Macy out of jail if she led them to the truth. It was for exactly this reason that Macy had cajoled Julian McGinnis into coming in and serving as her lawyer. She trusted him to get this right for her, even if he hadn't practiced in a while.
"It's a little more complicated than my days back with the DA, but everything appears to be in order to me, Mace. You sign this paper, and you're granted immunity for anything you tell him about."
"Of course, anything bad enough, they'll just shoot me on the spot."
"Very funny."
"Not really."
"What about my release? What does it say about that?"
"It's a little fuzzier on that. Obviously, it says upon signing, you'll be turned over to Landsberg and Grayson for the duration of the case. But as your ultimate release, it appears to be hinging on the case being settled to the satisfaction of the supervising official."
"That would be me."
"So my fate hangs on your whimsy?"
"Absolutely. And if you have a problem with that, you could stay in here for your full sentence. We can do this without you. It'll just take longer. And get our hands a little wetter."
"Fine. I'll sign. Give it here."
Julian laid the paper down in front of Macy and offered her a pen. After she signed, he followed suit and held the paper out to Landsberg.
"All we need is your signature, Mr. Landsberg."
Landsberg didn't look at it, staring instead at Macy.
"I need a show of good faith, Miss Hayes."
"I told you, Matthew. Macy is just...
a convicted felon. And I'm not going to sign that paper unless I have some kind of indication that she's going to play ball."
"What exactly do you want?"
"Nothing you can offer me, Fruit Loop. I want you to tell me why I'm here, Miss Hayes. What is it that you have in your pretty little head that's worth releasing a cold-blooded killer like you back onto the streets?"
Macy was silent. She met Landsberg's stare, holding her own in his gaze, but eventually looked away to meet Julian's eyes. Her look said it all to him. She had no choice. He nodded.
"I believe it has to do with a mission we went on in 1988 regarding Comrade Nikolai Ilyich Smerniakov, millionaire, arms dealer, and former Russian general."
"Excellent. And what was this mission?"
"We were sent there to kill him. But until you sign that paper, I'm going to have to leave you hanging as to whether we succeeded. I'm fairly certain assassination is still a crime in some countries."
"You see, Miss Hayes, you were a cold-blooded killer long before you ever met Mr. Cross."
Landsberg snatched the contract out of McGinnis's hands and signed it. Tossing the pen down onto the table afterwards, he rose and the guards outside the room opened the door.
"Bring her around to the car, Agent Grayson."
"Nice boss you got there."
"He makes a rough first impression, but I think he'll grow on you after a while. I can't imagine not working with him anymore."
"I couldn't be happier to see the back end of him."
"Oh, really, Jules?"
"Mace, not in that way. Ugh."
"Julie, I need you to do something for me. Don't tell Stella what happened here. I mean, she knows I'm working on something, but don't tell her I'm out. Don't tell her I'm with these guys. I don't want to get her hopes up, and I know she'll start snooping around and try to figure out what's going on. Tell her I'll contact her when I can see her again."
"No sweat. Client-lawyer confidentiality. I get it."
"All right. I'm ready, Lexi."
"I'm sorry, Macy, but we need to do this formally."
"I understand, Agent."
Macy held out her hands, and the guard fastened cuffs around them, and then attached them by chains to her ankles. In this way, escorted by the guard and Agent Grayson, Macy shuffled out to the black Range Rover Matthew Landsberg stood waiting beside. The ride off the Babylon grounds was heavy with an awkward silence. Eventually, Lexi offered Macy a soda. Macy accepted. A few minutes later, she was unconscious. When she awoke, she did so slowly, still expecting to be in her cell. She found herself, instead, in a small, square room painted all black, with no furniture except the chair to which she was taped. Duct tape fastened her to the seat around her forearms, chest, and legs. There were no windows, but the ceiling lamp was on. Macy could only see one door. She knew it wouldn't help, but she began shouting.
Hey! Hey, help me! Is anyone out there? Hey! Hey!
Macy could hear faint sounds of movement, but given her situation, she didn't really think that was a good sign. After a moment, the door opened, and Landsberg and Lexi entered, closing the door behind them. Lexi was carrying a black satchel.
I'm so glad you're finally awake. We've been waiting.
What the hell is this, Landsberg? I said I was going to help you!
I doubt you would have given us the help we really need. Regardless, you'll still have the chance. We really do need what you have. If we didn't, you'd already be dead.
Lexi knelt down near Macy's foot, laying the satchel on the floor. She gently pulled off Macy's left shoe, followed by her sock. She then took a pair of pruning shears out of the satchel. Landsberg smiled at Macy, the most personable expression he'd had since she'd met the man. It didn't suit him.
Let's get right down to it. Tell me something I don't know about your mission to kill Smerdyakov.
Lexi positioned the shears around Macy's left pinky toe. Macy was sweating.
When we went in to kill Smerdyakov, when we were in his office, gun to his head, he offered us $500,000, which we took before killing him anyway.
Lexi cut off Macy's toe.
Oh, God! Oh!
Meanwhile, across town, Macy's other half was working on an investigation of her own. Stella had taken the case of a man named Derek Washburn, a rich blonde with an odorous story about his son going missing. He came to them because he wanted to have Macy, a former company girl, working on his case. He was obviously behind the times. Stella was just coming downstairs from the apartment into the office, having lay in bed all night, awake. It was a regular occurrence on days when she'd visited Macy. Sometimes, living in the shadows of Parlor Town could make her forget what the sunlight even felt like. Once she remembered, it was difficult to go back to the cold. Tommy Potsdam, her secretary, was already at his desk. Probably had been for hours.
Good afternoon, Miss Decker.
Morning. I miss anything?
Still no answer at the number Mr. Washburn gave us. I'll keep trying, of course.
Good boy. Keep up the good work. Anyone else call?
Paige called. Said she had some information for you. She tried to get me to write her check, but I told her I'd make no payments until you say so.
Excellent. That girl is worth every dime she costs us.
Personally, I think she overcharges us. I don't like that girl.
You're not fooling anyone. You do, too.
Now see here, Miss Decker. I tell you, I find her disturbing. She's just a little too gleeful about breaking the law for my taste, and I think... Well, I think she knows more about us than she lets on. I think she may dig up information on us all in her spare time just for fun.
You think she has a listening device planted, Tommy? Hey, Paige! Give me a call! I need that info!
Hello? Deccan Hayes? Yes, she's right here.
Tommy put his hand over the receiver and mouthed the words, "It's her," to Stella. She, in turn, jerked her head towards her office, indicating she'd take the call there. When she got behind the closed door, she picked up the line.
Hey there, Paige.
What's gotten into Tommy?
You know, the boy, he rattles easily.
Someone should tell him spending every night at a coffee house is going to leave him all nerves. That or tell him to switch to decaf.
So what have you got for me?
I hacked the info for Mr. Washburn's credit card. It appears he's been staying at the Hotel Arizona.
The Arizona? That dive? What would a shiny fellow like Washburn be doing in a hellhole like that piece of junk?
Well, for one thing, making nightly payments to a very discreet company that happens to be an alias for a certain escort service.
Please tell me it's Mama Wang's.
Today's your lucky day.
Oh, thank you. I could kiss you, girl.
Sounds good, but could you have Tommy deliver it for you?
I'll have him bring it with your check.
Oh, you don't need to bother with that. I'll just charge it to your Visa. I'm a bit strapped for money right now. Need the payment quick.
And you have my Visa number how?
It's been a pleasure doing business with you. Have your boy call me, please.
Yeah, thanks.
The line disconnected and Stella was left alone with her thoughts. It was only just after 2. Mama Wang wouldn't be in until 4 at the earliest. So she was left with a little time before she could proceed. She considered hopping in the pickup and swinging by the Arizona to check the layout. She'd heard there'd been some remodeling since last time she'd been there, but she still couldn't imagine it was anywhere near the type of a place slick gentlemen like Washburn would soil his expensive shoes. She was just grabbing her keys off the desktop when Tommy's voice broke her silent thoughts in two.
Miss Thekka! Miss Thekka, quick!
Stella sprung through the door, out into the front room, not sure what to expect but with a hand on her gun just in case. It seemed someone had already beaten her to the punch. There was blood, smeared all over the door to the outside, splattered all over the carpet, and all over Tommy's shirt. He was beside the woman who appeared to be losing this blood, lowering her gently onto the couch, supporting her weight. The woman was unconscious, but Stella knew her well.
Tasha?
I think she's unconscious, Miss Thekka. She just came running in here, bleeding all over the place, and didn't even say a word. Just collapsed into me when I got to her side.
Jesus, she's been shot right in the gut. Call an ambulance, Tommy, now!
Tommy dialed 911, but was put on hold. Parlor Town had more than its share of emergencies.
Is she gonna die, Miss Thekka?
Laying here, bleeding out sure isn't improving her chances.
Stella shrugged off her shoulder holster and tore off her overshirt, balling it up and pressing it into the woman's wound, trying to staunch the bleeding. The white shirt quickly reddened.
Come on, Tasha. Don't you die on me. You've got to hold on.
Do you know her, Miss Thekka?
I used to. Haven't seen her since... Jesus, maybe 88, back when I was with the Blades. You can't just vanish for 18 years and then show up to die, girl!
She was a friend?
No, Tommy. She's my ex. Now, get us help. Now! I'm not gonna let her die!
Who is Tasha? And what was her relationship with Stella? What happened when Macy was sent to kill Smerdyakov? Will Stella stop her ex-lover from bleeding to death? Will Macy follow suit? Be sure to return for a look to the past in the next episode of Decker and Hayes, 1988.